Have you heard of flipped schools? Flipped schooling? No.
I don't know about you, but I like that made so much sense to me logically. It also intimidated the heck out of me.
This will not achieve its intended purpose unless individual family members, especially parents, vigorously act to increase family togetherness and one-on-one time.
We know it works.
Yes.
So why aren't we doing that more? Welcome to Teaching Restored, where we get to talk about how to be the bestest teachers of the gospel ever. Ever, Julie.
You said bestest.
Bestest. The bestest ever. See, well, it's now the new year, 2026, and you know, let's make a New Year's resolution. I've never made New Year's resolutions actually real.
Oh, you haven't?
But let's pretend. No, no. I don't do it on the new year. I think like New Year for me, I do it at other times of the year, but it's not New Year's resolution.
Yeah. You're a goal setter, but not a New Year's resolution. Jump on the bandwagon. Yeah,
I'm a really poor goal setter, but it's not at New Year's when I pretend to do it. I pretend to do it another time.
Oh, okay, good. So you don't fake it while everybody else is faking it.
Right, right, right. Exactly.
Okay, this
right.
is good.
Yeah, I fake it other times.
That's all right.
Yeah.
That's all right.
So bad.
But our New Year's resolution is to be the bestest teachers ever.
Ever. That's right.
In the whole wide world.
And we're going to start it off this way. Okay. That with this topic that I'm not telling you what it is yet, but this has been really hitting me lately. Actually, it's been a long time kind of coming and slowly gathering. And I'm like, oh, yep. It's been building up to this day right here. So let me ask you a question. And that would be, do you know what flipped school is, that term? Have you heard of flipped schools? Flipped schooling?
No.
So typically, almost always, what we see is when someone goes to school, they go, the teacher lectures, they say, here's what you need to learn. You learn it. Here's some homework. You go home, you do the homework, you come back, you get graded on the homework. They teach you the next thing, gives you more homework, go home, do the homework, come back, right? It's like that. Flipped is exactly flipping those two. Basically, you go home, you learn it. You come to class and do the homework with the teacher there, able to say, all right, okay, let's do your worksheet or let's do whatever this is. Let's do your homework all together and learn this together. And if you have any questions, I'm here. Great. All right. You did the homework. Turn it in. You've now done it with my help. Go back, learn, and then come and let's do the homework. So that really the they have to kind of take their own accountability for learning at that point, right? But when they really need the help during the homework, that's where the teacher's there to help them through that.
Like through the experience when you're actually putting it into practical application.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Isn't that what home-centered church supported is?
Well, yes, absolutely. Like you're supposed to learn it at home and then when you get to church. But okay, so make the connection to how you would flip it. This is okay. A really interesting, like, because it's almost like what I started to think about is in college, how you'll go to the lecture and then you'll have a lab, right? Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about how the lab is kind of like that. And so if you did the lecture online or you did the lecture at home, then you go to the lab. And so what if the church was the lab is kind of what I'm thinking in my head. Is that
okay? That's a good way to look at it. Yeah. So in fact, we do home-centered, church-supported, flipped church every single week, and we don't even recognize it. I didn't even recognize it until yesterday in my Elders Quorum presidency meeting when I was talking about this concept for Elders Quorum lesson time itself. And one of my counselors brought this up. He said, well, don't we kind of do that? I mean, you know, when we prepare a sacrament meeting talk, don't we do that already? And I'm like, oh, we do, don't we? Because how many times you've heard this a million times. I've heard this a million times. you know, the person who gets the most out of it, it's the teacher or it's the person giving the talk because they're preparing it, right?
Right.
That is the model of home-centered, church-supported, right?
Yeah.
That is the level I think they want us to get to, but we're not
to the point
close.
Where we're doing the learning at home.
Yes.
And then coming and processing through how to put it into practical application.
Yes.
Wow. I mean, you said that about talks, but like, do we really do that? Like,
don't we?
I'm trying to think, well, with talks, but I'm thinking about like in Sunday school.
Well, like, if I'm the teacher, don't I prepare all the stuff and I learn so much of it and then I go and I only, you know, get a quarter of it out. And we totally talk about a quarter of it, but I learned so much more than what we actually talk about in class or what I quote teach in class, right? So the learner is actually the preparer.
Yes. Okay. So I was thinking about it. Wait, the learner is actually the preparer. What do you mean by that?
The one who really learned the most was the person who prepared.
Person who did the preparation. Yeah. So this is why it took me just a second to really catch on to what you're saying, because I was thinking about it from the perspective of the student. And what you're talking about is from the perspective of the person doing the preparation at home, right?
Correct.
Like you're talking about the teacher from the teacher's perspective.
Correct. But you are thinking about it correctly. So I'm taking it just as a stepping stone to say what you're thinking. We do this already. We may not recognize it, but the person who prepares a sacrament meeting talk, the person who prepares a Sunday school lesson, right?
Yeah, they're doing it.
They're doing it. But like you said, from the learner's perspective, why aren't we going to that level on the preparation side and then coming and, I don't know, debrief? Let's call it debriefing for now. Debriefing.
Or discussing practical application.
Yes.
Like discussing how to put it into practice, which is basically doing homework, right?
Right.
Okay. So what's so interesting about this is when you first started to say it and you described it in a school setting, I thought, wow, that's a little bit genius. And I started thinking about my daughter's AP class, for example. And in AP classes, that's the model. Like, because, you know, they're preparing via College Board. This is for her. She's like, the teacher doesn't even really teach us. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? She's not lecturing. She's not giving us any instruction. And it's throwing her for this major curveball. She's a freshman. Mm-hmm. And she's like, so I'm having to learn all of this on my own. And she's frustrated about it because she's having to flip the model in her mind and having to learn all of this on her own at home. And then when she goes to school, she's doing labs. She has the opportunity to ask questions. The opportunity to process through all of it. And so I was like thinking about how genius the model is, and it's a model of higher learning. And so when you started saying, why don't we do it at church? I was kind of like, oh, you're onto something. But I hadn't made the connection that in some ways we already do it.
Right. And that's the connection that I got yesterday in our presidency meeting, was that this is already happening. But what if we as learners prepared that much? So first off, we know it works, right? We know that this flipped model works already because we experience it ourselves whenever we give a talk, whenever we prepare a lesson. We know it works.
Yes.
So why aren't we doing that more?
Well, so here's the thing though. Not only do we know it works, we like when this flip happened, like church-wide to home-centered church supported, I don't know about you, but I like that made so much sense to me logically. It also intimidated the heck out of me. Because all of a sudden more of the onus was literally on me. I don't even think I realized just how much I relied on church for the instruction of the kids, right? Like how much of that was actually happening. And so it feels like it was an inspired change that I imagine a lot of us probably support and have a testimony of. Right. And so there has to be some inspiration going into that, which has to mean there has to be, I imagine, it's pretty research-based. I imagine it's pretty. So are we doing it right if we aren't going all the way to the end of the road? Meaning not just in the ways that are kind of naturally happening, but like if we aren't treating our classes that way, are we doing it right? Is that kind of what you're getting at?
Okay, I want to show you a clip.
A video clip?
A video clip. And And in watching the video clip, take it from this point of view, but we're going to watch Elder Oaks in one of his famous talks here. This talk was given 10 years ago. Oh, you know what? Oh, I didn't even check to make sure that the audio worked on this, so I might have to splice in the audio. So if you can't hear this, tell me, but I'm gonna play this. Let's do this.
But here is a caution for families. Suppose church leaders reduce the time required by church meetings and activities in order to increase the time available for families to be together.
Okay. They did that, right?
Yeah.
When we went to our church, they did that. They said, we're going to reduce church time to allow you to spend more time studying the gospel as a family.
Yeah.
Okay. So that they actually, you know, 5 years later, whatever it is, 5-6 years later from this talk, they actually did that. So that's where we are today. Yeah. And then
this will not achieve its intended purpose unless individual family members, especially parents, vigorously act to increase family togetherness and one-on-one time. Team sports and technology toys like video games and the internet are already winning away the time of our children and youth. Surfing the internet is not better than serving the Lord or strengthening the family.
Have we fulfilled exactly his little prophecy? They give us extra time and we just filled it in with everything else.
Oh, are you doing this episode for me specifically?
Or me?
I know. Oh boy. What year was that talk?
2015, October 2015.
Yeah. And wasn't the change to 2-hour church like in 2019?
2020 or 2021, I think, maybe.
Okay. Holy cow.
Yeah. Oh, and so he's saying, if we did give this to you, guess what would happen? And then they give it to us, and guess what happened?
Yeah. I loved the word he used about vigorous, like that it's going to take vigorous. Didn't he say vigorous attention or something that to actually be able to? I don't remember the exact phrasing. Mm-hmm. But when he said that word, I'm like, have I given it vigorous effort or attention or whatever it was? Oh my gosh. I know. Like I said, why do I feel chastised right now?
Right. Oh my goodness. So not only and this is just kind of settling on me really.
Yeah.
When they turned it into, I hesitate saying they turned it into home-centered because it's always supposed to have been home-centered. It wasn't anything but that, right?
When we called it, when we started to call it,
thank you.
When we
articulated what it really is, what it or really really ought to be, and they gave us more time to do it, we didn't take advantage of it, or we didn't take advantage of it as much as we can. Or there are those listening right now who are saying we did. Good for you. Awesome. I am proud of you. There are probably way more that haven't gone to that degree. And we probably should be a little bit more attentive and vigorous in our implementation.
We did it like we do New Year's resolutions. We did it for a minute.
We were so diligent
at first.
Sure.
We were so good at the beginning. And then, oh, wow. Like and that extra hour was literally supposed to be used to study the gospel as a family.
Right. And then we let that slip away and we let other things get in the way. Ugh. Wow. Okay. So let's watch another clip.
Is this it going to feel as bad?
I don't know. We'll find out.
No promises?
We'll find out. No promises. This is Elder Bednar recently speaking. It's a BYU iPathway fireside chat kind of thing. It's something like that. Here we go.
In the Doctrine and Covenants, it says that parents are to teach their children to understand the doctrine of Christ. Now, I don't want to sound like I'm giving a lecture, but most people misinterpret that. They think understand means mental comprehension, and that's not what it means in the scriptures.
Pausing right there. he said most people think that to understand is a mental comprehension, right? And oftentimes when we teach, we want people to understand. So what do? We try to make them mentally comprehend what we are saying.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the tactic that we take when we are teaching. We want them to understand. So I'm going to give them the facts. I'm going to give them what they need so that they can understand. And what he's saying is that the scriptures, when the scriptures use understand, it's has a bit different definition. So I'll keep going here.
The Lord says, apply thine heart to understanding, not the mind. That's assumed. But the mind alone is not enough. Apply thine heart to understanding. The definition of revelation is thoughts to the mind and feelings to the heart. When what we know in our mind is confirmed as true in our heart, that is the beginning of understanding.
That's good.
Okay. So if we know what comes in our mind is true with our heart, that is the beginning of understanding.
Of understanding. Yeah.
So wouldn't it make sense then for us to go home to learn and try to get it up in our noggin and have it confirmed in our heart, understand actually from our perspective, and then come and in class share that perspective? And oh my goodness, Julie, you're going to have a different perspective than I have, and you're going to have different revelation and a different understanding than I have. And I'm going to understand and be uplifted and stretch the boundaries of my soul by what you have said as well. Okay. I'm going to stop there. And what's your thoughts?
So in my mind, I'm like, cause I love that definition of understanding. I love, and that's the level that we want people to get to. And I'm thinking in my mind of all of, you know, I'm thinking in my mind about the difference between the two. And what I can't help but think is, how do we inspire people to want to do that? Like, what would inspire me to want to come with that level of preparation to a class? And I'm a pretty self-motivated person. Like, I have a desire to study the gospel. I have a desire to understand it here and here. Like, I think about, you know, and the way that I receive revelation, it's more obvious to me here. And then I'm like, oh, by the way, that thought came from the Spirit. And that's my connection. That's kind of the sequence for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm motivated to get there myself. But how do I even, like, I don't know. I don't know what would help me get to the point where I would do exactly that in preparation, or try and get to that level in preparation for, like, we're supposed to all be running through the same scripture, right? We're supposed to studying the same thing and walking the same path with everybody else so that we can have those types of experiences at home and then come and be uplifted by and enlightened as we share them with each other, but we're not. So what would motivate me? And those are the thoughts going through my head.
Okay. Before we get to that question, and I think that's the right question, I want to ask an intermediate question. Do we have the tools there so that if we were motivated to do it, we can jump on it and run with it?
Yes. Yes.
Give me some tools.
Like, I'm thinking about my scriptures. I'm thinking about the Gospel Library app. I'm thinking about, like, is that kind of what you mean? I mean, there are video resources. Like, the way that the scriptures are set up now and the resources that are just in the scriptures in the Gospel Library app. And then we can add to that, you know, gospel topics and taking a deeper dive. I'll tell you what I've been doing lately that's been really amazing is I used to use Bible Hub to look at some of the different translations. Mm-hmm. You can also go to ChatGPT and say, give me the ESV, the NSV, all the different translations of a specific verse. Or I can say, this word is intriguing to me. And I can say to one of the AI apps, tell me what the Latin root is. Tell me what the Hebrew definition is. Tell me what, and gain insights from that. And so that I've been doing a lot of that type of stuff, springboarding from the Gospel Library app. And I've discovered even just this week, some of the features of the Gospel Library app in the scriptures that I didn't even know existed. Like, there are so many, and I'm in it all the time. But there were things that I didn't even realize were there. And so it is, so yes, would be my answer to your question of, do we have the resources? For sure.
100%. Right.
We you just would agree with that?
Motivated to actually use them. And it's not hard to use them. And let me show you how easy it is. I mean, like, stupid easy.
Yes.
The leaders of our church have made this really, really easy to be a flipped church experience, a home-centered church-supported experience, and we're ignoring it. Are you ready for this? Okay. Come follow me for the Doctrine and Covenants sections where Joseph and Hiram are martyred. Okay.
Yes. So 135.
Yes, I believe so. But okay. I'm looking in Come Follow Me chapter.
Oh, okay. Right? So go to Come Follow Me.
Come follow
Hold
me.
On, I'm getting there.
Yep. And the Come chapter in Come Follow Me for that.
Okay.
If you scroll down to where it says Joseph Smith was a prophet and witness of Jesus Christ.
Okay. Hold on one second.
Okay.
Yep. Got it.
Okay. Scroll down about halfway. And this is what it says. And think, and as I read this, think about the impact that this would have if we actually did this individually and in our families. It says, consider how you would complete a sentence like this one. Because of what the Lord did through Joseph Smith, I dot, dot, dot. Just stop, you know, if we were to stop right there. If we were to actually stop and say, okay, you know what? I'm going to take that sentence and actually do it. Yeah. And I'm going to write out, because of what the Lord did through Joseph Smith, I, and then start coming up with ideas. Oh, right. Wow. Yeah. I hadn't thought of that one too. Wow. That's wow. There's a lot here, but right. And then it says, you might also record and share your testimony of the prophet Joseph Smith with others. What if we actually did that? What if I'm right? Duh.
Right.
What if we said, hey, family, you know, for family home evening, we're just going to do that. We're going to express our feelings about Joseph Smith and how thankful we are for him, and talk about, because the Lord did this through Joseph Smith, what is there
that
we receive? Yeah. Right. Yeah. Et cetera.
Yeah.
And then in that, you're bearing your testimony at the same time, right? Let's keep going though. Another way to learn about Joseph Smith's mission is to try writing a brief obituary or eulogy for him. What if I just sat down for 15 minutes and I wrote out my own Doctrine and Covenants 135?
I was going to say, I would have a hard time not starting with Joseph Smith has done more, save Jesus Christ. For like, that would be in my head. That immediately, because that's like the most beautiful eulogy. But yeah, like finding your own words to do that.
What would you say to build faith in Christ and his restored gospel, which is the purpose really in the end of that eulogy? It's not only to be something for him, but it's also to turn people to Jesus Christ, right? And we read two halves of two paragraphs, or one half of two paragraphs, really, right? And I haven't even gotten into the rest of it. If we just did that much for that week, how much would we have learned and prepared to go into this lesson time during church and be prepared to share?
I mean, how do we do this, Kev?
Okay. So we have the tools, right? The tools are there.
We have the tools. There's not an obstacle. There's nothing.
There is not. Now.
Except humanness.
Motivation.
Yes.
Okay. There is a book by, I can't remember. I apologize, author. I've Benjamin Hardy. There we go. Benjamin Hardy.
Okay.
Benjamin Hardy has a book. And if I remember correctly, and I'm thinking of this off the top of my head, I read it. Good book. It's called, if I remember correctly, it's called Willpower Doesn't Work.
Okay.
And this is something that I believe in. I saw that title. I'm like, in. By the way, Benjamin Hardy is a member of the church. This isn't not a church book, however. but it's a more, I think, more of a life business type book. But basically what he says is, if the systems work against you, you're not going to change. If what you have built up around you doesn't change, then you're going to be in the same thing. So the way I look at it is, if we're at the beach and the kids and, you know, even these big kids, we can take our finger and or dig out a little bit of a trench and make it wind like that, right? And if we put water in it, we can watch the water go down this trench to the ocean, right? Is it going to go anywhere else? No, it will follow that trench, period.
Which is our habits, which is the systems in our families, which is
and our schedules and everything else. However, hearkening back like that, hearkening
you just
back.
Use hearken in normal talk. Good job. Thank you. Awesome.
Yeah. Hearkening back to the episode on lecturing that you did.
Yeah.
Right. If we set up the classroom so that we are lecturing, what will they go home and do? Probably the same thing that they've always been doing, because when they come, they expect to be fed one way.
Lecture. Yeah.
Lecture, right? Okay. Yeah, it's just going to happen. And so why go home and really study and get to this level when we're just going to go to church and learn it anyways?
So are you hinting at setting things up in our classrooms such that we create accountability so that they're motivated to go change the systems at home to meet the expectation?
One of the solutions when we talked about lecture and how not to lecture, one of the solutions I gave was to blow it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just don't do it anymore. You don't do it because if they came, you know, in this context, if they came, it wouldn't work. What they're normally doing wouldn't work. So they have to go back home and do something different.
Yeah.
Right.
In but if order we keep to doing, be able to even participate, right?
Correct. Correct.
Yeah.
Now, what does that look like? Oh my goodness. I don't know. I really don't. Although I will give you one example of this that we're doing, and this has been, and I've talked about this a little bit in other episodes. It is a work in progress. It's an iterative process that we're going through in our elders quorum. I talked about how we split up. Now I want to give you the current model that we're using right now. And it's changed over we've been a presidency for 1 year and we've changed this. Mm-hmm. And this is just one example. I'm not saying people should go do this. I'm not saying that this is the right way. I'm just saying that this is what we are doing right now to try to get to that point.
Okay.
So what happens is Elders Quorum, Relief Society, we're supposed to take a general conference talk and teach, quote, air quote, teach that. So I will pull out, or I'll work with one of my counselors to pull out four things that we individually as families or as a ward need to do better in, or can do better in, or improve upon. And then we create some questions out of that. We find the paragraph numbers that go along with that question.
Right.
And we bring it to the elders and I send this out to them and I say, hey, will you please read this and think about these four questions? Bring it to
as the teacher, you do that or do you
there
not
is no
have,
teacher.
You don't have elders quorum teachers.
I don't have elders quorum teachers.
That's right. That's right. Okay.
I've released
them. Okay. So that's important to note because this is not what like you would have the teacher do this. Like if people were in a more traditional setting and had elders quorum teachers, this is kind of what you're suggesting.
Correct.
Be done by the, okay, right. Keep going.
And in a way I'm blowing this up, right? This is not traditional at all.
Right.
And
right.
So
that makes sense.
And so I have these four topics and then I will get four people to lead a discussion.
One on each topic.
And they are just regular members of the quorum. They're not called, set apart to be teachers because they're not teaching. That is not their role, is to teach.
No. Yeah.
And I say, okay, listen, I want you to be the discussion head for this. However, what you're doing is actually, I want you to counsel. I want you to counsel together here's the conundrum, the problem, the issue, backed up by General Conference paragraph in this talk. There you go. And then I want you to discuss how we as individuals, as an Elders Quorum, as ward, as families can do better. That is the council. Now, and I framed it to be a council. Now, I'm going to throw in a couple of things here. According to the handbook, you're supposed to take the first few minutes and counsel together. And I just said, you know what? We're just going to counsel the whole entire time.
Yeah.
That's all we're going to do. We're not going to have a lesson. We are using the basis of a general conference talk, but we're going to counsel together. Because you know what? I suddenly realized we have these spiritual giants in our midst, in our quorum here, in the elders quorum there. And when we teach and talk at them, their engines turn off and they're just, that's nice. Oh, okay. And we are wasting that potential energy. Why not get their engines revving, their spiritual engines revving, and use every single one of them and say, we've got this issue. Let's go figure out how to solve this. And they're in problem solving mode, which is what guys like to do anyways, right? We like to solve problems. Good. Let's counsel together to figure that out. And so at the very beginning, we've got a couple announcements, a couple things that we do. And then we say, okay, they're here, whatever group you want to go to, we're, you know, go meet in this other room, go meet over here. And we break out. And then 15 minutes before you come back and the person who is asked to lead it comes back and says, here's our solution. That solution can be, I think that we need to have a talk and sacrament meeting on this topic. Great. And I said, and I'll say, great, I'll take that to the bishopric. For example, one, the first time we did this, one of the solutions, it was talking about temple and how to help people attend the temple more and more frequently, I would say. And the solution was there are many, well, the problem was that they came up with and narrowed it down to was that there are a lot of people in our ward who don't go to the temple as often because they don't have a ride. It takes 45 minutes for us to get to the temple right now, at least maybe more, really, if there is no traffic. And a lot of them don't want to drive at night, can't drive at night. Right?
Right.
When a lot of the other ones who can drive, that's when they're going because they're working during the day. So they can't go to the temple very often. So can we create like a ride board? Can we do something like, hey, I'm going to the temple, just throw it out there. And then someone says, hi, Sister So-and-so is going to the temple. Maybe I should just go with Sister So-and-so and say, hey, can I go with you? Great. Yeah. And they go together. And so I took that and I went to ward council. I said, here's the idea. And it just so happened that the Relief Society was talking about the exact same thing. Coincidentally, that same hour that we were and brought another similar situation, right? And so we did this again and ideas came out of it. And some of it is for the bishopric. Some of it's for the elders quorum. Some of it's for ward council. Some of it's maybe a message we can get out to all of the families. I mean, lots of different things that we could possibly do, but all of a sudden we're starting to come up with these solutions and things that can make things better instead of just, and so we're applying our hearts to understanding and doing something about it. Now, will this really work in the end? I don't know. So far, it's going well. And I'm really excited about it.
Like, even as you're describing it, that would be the type of environment I would feel really motivated to come and be part of. Because I love problem solving. It's my favorite. Here's a question. Because you described, when you first said it, I thought you were having these four questions and that you were tackling them as a group with four different people leading, but you actually have the groups separate out.
Yeah.
Each one solves a problem, so to speak.
Correct.
And then you come back together. So do people choose which group they're most interested in, which problem they're most interested in talking about?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep.
Do you have locations? Like, do you have to have separate locations? Can you do it in the same room?
We tried that and that doesn't work very well because we were in the chapel and it just is too noisy. Yeah. And a lot of people with not good hearing can't hear it because there's just too much, you know, background noise. And so we have in our gym, we have three overflows that aren't being used. So we, one in the chapel, three more, let's use the overflows so they can move the chairs around and make a tight knit group there. Right. So that's, you know, that's one of the problems we had to overcome because it wasn't working all in the same one. So there are little problems that we've said, oh, that doesn't work. How, what if we tried that? No, that didn't work. Let's try this.
Right.
Now, are people just not reading and coming to Elders Quorum and just being part of it? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure.
But think about what's happening still. Think about even if you don't do any preparing, you know, I mean, and I realize that the point of what you're talking about today has more to do with how can we motivate people to want to come prepared. But I think you would be more motivated to want to contribute if you knew that that's what was going to be happening each week.
Right.
Right. That's, and even that's if you can't prepare 1 week, you don't have to feel like crud. You just think, man, okay, I really am going to try and get on it earlier this week. And
right.
Yeah. That's really, really intriguing to me. And I'm thinking about it in light of some of the other obstacles that we have, for example, in different, I've heard different Relief Society presidents talk about how it's difficult to get people who have been teaching for a while to do something other than lecture, right? And and as we were talking about this a few weeks ago, I started thinking about, well, what are some ways that you could blow it up, so to speak, per your suggestion? Hadn't even crossed my mind. You literally reframe the entire thing when you call it a council. And then when it's a council, every person is accountable for participating. Like, you are the member of a council, and it reframes your role and responsibility completely.
Yes. Yes.
And getting rid of all the teachers. I'd never thought of blowing it up in that way.
Yeah. How do you stop lecturing? You release all the teachers.
Yeah. It's brilliant.
No more lecturing.
I think it's brilliant.
Right there, right?
Right.
Now, a side benefit from this that I found that I'm really, actually really, really excited about is that I, being Elders Quorum president, I'm part of a council with my presidency. Then I go to ward council and I'm a part of council there. There are a lot of people in the ward that aren't a part of a council and maybe have never been. Everyone gets to be a part of the council.
Yeah.
Every other week. And everyone see what a council. Experience. Yes. And see what it's like. And then even lead one, which is an interesting thing, because when we get together, some people still take it as, hey, let's just share happy thoughts, not solve a problem, but here, you know, the Book of Mormon and this and this and this and Jesus and da, 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 da. Did that get us anywhere closer to solving the problem? No, it's just a good thought. No. That's not what we're looking for. Mm-hmm. And then, because I've watched this in these councils where the leaders, you know, someone will kind of just go off on a, not on a tangent almost, but pretty much a tangent. They're just talking about good things. And they say, okay, but what is our solution? How do we, you know, and they're refocusing it into a solution-based council, and they all get an experience for what that is. And I think that's fabulous to understand how a council works and to be a part of one every other week.
You know, it's interesting because you're talking about this, and I'm thinking about how often councils aren't, like, we're taught to counsel together. We know that there's power in that. We know, you know, that even... I was just thinking about the reading in 136, section 136, about how after Joseph Smith passed, there was something really cool that I hadn't really thought through. And it's the fact that when he sent all of the missionaries over to England, he sent them as a quorum, basically, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it was, and they were to function in that capacity as a quorum while they were over there teaching. I don't know if quorum's the right word, or because it was an apostolic group. It was a group of apostles, I think. And so when he sent them there, that literally ended up being their training, so that when he passed, they already had practiced functioning as, I'm calling it a quorum for purposes. And so when I'm thinking about, you know, being part of a stake council, being part of a ward council, you go into that and sometimes it's not done well because you don't end with solutions. You just discuss and then blah, blah, blah. But part of the training is to learn how to be a good counselor, how to be a person who participates actively, but also a driver who gets to solutions instead of letting it just be fluffy talk.
Exactly.
And so you get opportunities to practice when you set it up that way. And talk about flipping it, because if the laboratory is the council, right?
Yes.
That's when you're practicing it. If you know what the question is coming in and you're studying it out in your mind, and you're even, you know, like if people come in prepared to counsel on that subject, do you send it out beforehand and say, here are the four things we're going to tackle? Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I just, my brain is exploding. This is so good.
And so what you just said is one of the, again, one of the highlights of this, I'll say model, if you want to even go, wait, just way of doing it.
Yeah, I think. Call it a model. I love it.
The model, because I'm not going to be in my calling forever. And there will be other counselors to elders quorum or other people released, and then they're in the council and they will know how a council is run, and they will have been a part of it. They'll have experience doing it already, not just coming in going, I'm kind of uncomfortable with this. No, they're comfortable with it. They get it, and they could even run one themselves.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it. And even if not everybody does it well, if everybody can have the opportunity, and then there's an opportunity for mentorship and,
yes.
Can you not see this being so cool with the youth?
I know. Exactly. Oh, yes. 100%. Yes.
Like, and how would you do that in young women's and young? Well, I mean, okay. Because here's something that's so interesting.
Okay. Let me throw this out real quickly. Sorry.
Yes. Go.
The youth, especially because the youth have gone through seminary on the same topic. They've done it in their families. They've done it in their personal. And now they're going to go do it again on Sunday and just hear the same things over and over. That's a complaint I've heard. We just talked about the exact same things we talked about all week. Well, let's use it.
Let's blow it up so that we can use it. Let's go to our lab that goes with the lecture. Like, let's go.
Yes.
Okay. So as you're even describing this, I'm thinking a little bit about, because, you know, I have kids that are teenagers. I have kids that have gone through this. I almost called it the system, and it's not that. I don't mean to call it that, but have had that experience. And I'm thinking about, like, in young women's, one of the things that we're told to do and that the church has kind of put into practice is having the youth teach. Well, what if we were to reframe that even? And say, have the youth lead a council. Because I feel like I've heard parents complain, oh my gosh, I have this seminary teacher and they're trying to have the youth, the kids teach once a week. And my kid doesn't have time for that. And it just feels like another burden. And why are they even doing this? I don't feel like they're learning anything from it. And it's interesting because I'm like, I see the importance of it. I can see it being a good thing. But like, even when my daughter has to prepare a devotional, we're kind of going, oh shoot, let's scramble. Let's put it together. Versus if you were to say, hey, here's a problem to solve. Is that a problem that you guys face? See if the youth even identify it. Even in fact, make the youth come up with what are the problems you see, and then say, okay, next week, we're going to talk about those problems as we're going to counsel together. Who wants to lead that discussion? Who wants to, you know, lead the council? Everybody's going to have a turn and get some buy-in. Mm-hmm. I mean, could you even do, oh my gosh, I can think of all these ways to systematize that so that the kids, it wouldn't be extra.
No.
It would just be engagement.
And especially if the question is something that hits them and they're like, yeah, I'm totally invested in that question.
Right.
I really want to solve this problem because this is hitting me and I want to see what others are thinking and get some adults and youth to get their brains on this because this is really hard and I need some help in this.
Yeah.
So I'm invested in it.
We have a fifth Sunday coming up and I'm like, oh, I wonder, because we don't have a plan for the youth yet. And Todd was saying something about, you know, the youth. Oh, I wonder if we could. Oh, okay. I'm getting all kinds of ideas right now. This is so exciting.
Okay. Here is the creme de la creme on top.
I'm ready.
Of that.
Cherry on top.
The cherry.
I hate cherries.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not a fan of cherries either.
No. I want the whipped cream.
I like the whipped cream. I don't like, you know, when you go to Chick-fil-A and they have the cherry on top. I throw those out.
No.
But like a cherry pie. Disgusting. I like cherry pies though.
But like Liam will take it and he'll tie a little knot with it and think he's cool.
Yeah.
I can't do anything.
That's impressive.
Good. I throw it away.
Yeah.
No, we don't want to talk about that. Whipped cream. So that's not what I'm talking about. With the whipped cream on top, Kev.
Yes, here you go. We do our councils. We leave. We come back 2 weeks later. And I said, by the way, I want you to know, I took your idea to the ward council and they loved it. And here's how we're implementing it. or I took it to the bishopric. Yes, they were thinking the same kind of thing. They actually want to take it and modify it like this. And they'd like a couple of your help, you know, a couple of ideas, people here to, you know, throw in their ideas who are really invested in that question. Are any of you willing to talk with a member of the bishopric about this and brainstorm some ideas with that as well? Oh my goodness. Then they see that it's actually working, that it's actually making change and that things are improving. And oh my goodness, I get to be a part of that. Not just from the top down, the bishop and the leadership and the ward council, they're doing things in the ward, but we from the bottom up, we're actually able to make change too. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it makes it sound hierarchical, and I hate to think of the church that way, but I think it's involvement. When you have involvement from people, yes, you have commitment. And so even, I think, again, especially with the youth, right? If the youth feel like they have a voice, like they can make a difference, like somebody gives a rip, they're not just coming and like the download.
Yes.
Fill me with information so I am not naughty. Fill it. Like, they kind of have this perception that it's like, we're just trying to, you know, feed them. And no, like what they can do is they process and have ideas and want to modify things to work better for them, that they actually could have an influence on all of that. And what bishop would not be thrilled to have the youth engaged in that way?
Right. Or to take it even further than just the youth, for the women of the ward or for the men of the ward to identify, yes, something and say, hey, we've thought of a solution. Can we go do this? Yes, go do it. Great. You know, I haven't had time to get to that because it's just me. And how am I going to try to do a calling on this or whatever? Just go do it. Get it done. Great. We're going to go do it. I am really excited about this latest iteration and where this could go. It's not, I'll say this, it's not comfortable for everyone. This is new. Right. There are people who there have been people who said, I hated it at first, but now I'm really starting to get into it and I like it. There are others who said, I still wish I could just teach. You know, they may be a good teacher themselves and I'll call it, quote, the old style, but I wish we could just have someone teach us. And they're still of that thought, but I want those engines purring. I want to use them. They're there sitting there for an hour. Why not use those spiritual engines?
You know what's so interesting? I was just thinking about this. So there have been a few times in my life where I've been asked to be the moderator for something, right? So my job is not to be the person with any of the information. My job is to moderate a discussion, like a panel or something like that. I love it because literally my job is to be a sponge. It's to restate what I hear people saying. It's to try and help draw some connections. It is so fun because you just get to like hear and learn and assimilate and blah, blah, blah. It's so awesome. And so that literally is what we're encouraging people.
Yeah.
Instead of being a teacher, you are, as a council leader, kind of a moderator of a panel discussion. I mean, I know that sounds a little bit weird, but it's really fun.
It is. It's a lot of fun. And think about this. Preparing a lesson, that takes a lot of time. If I just said, hey, would you please read this talk? Think about this question and how to solve this problem, and you'll lead a discussion on it. They read it. They think about it. They pray about it. That is their preparation.
Yeah.
It's not like it's going to take forever to do.
Yeah. But guess what? Understanding. Here, I'm pointing to my head. Here, I'm pointing to my heart, because you're thinking about a problem to be solved, not just information to be learned.
Exactly. Exactly. It takes it to a functional level where you can act on it. The lab. I love that you brought that up. The lab. Make that the lab. Yeah. Okay. Let me see what other notes I have. Okay. Going back to the home. What does our home look like if it were more truly home-centered in that way, that we were doing the learning at home and then going to the lab at church?
This is the part that makes me feel bad.
Sorry to bring that up again.
I know. I enjoyed the other part, but now this is the part that makes me feel bad.
But so, that part of church, though, is how we can help structure it so that it is home-centered more, right?
The people are motivated.
That at least one way that we can. I'm not saying the way, but a way. And so okay, really,
so,
yeah.
So here's the thing. Like, I feel like I've tried strategy after strategy after strategy, and they all keep falling flat on their face. But one of the things that I've never really done that you're almost bringing up here is discussed problems with my children, which I know sounds a little bit weird, but like the preparation that you're talking about that you do, where you go through the talk or you go through the reading of, you know, like, let's say you're doing this for Come Follow Me, you could do the same thing where you go through the sections.
Sure could.
And you're like, is there a problem that this might, that comes up that I could see an application connection to? And then maybe talk to my kids just in a natural way about the problems.
Mm-hmm.
And then use the scriptures as a way to kind of support it, but literally lead with the problem so that they're engaged and interested.
One of the great things about questions is that it's hard to get rid of a question that you can't answer.
Right. And it's hard to not answer a question. And it's even harder to get rid of the thought about a question that you can't answer.
Right.
Both
and
things.
So if we kind of prepare ourselves for the week for Come Follow Me in families with children, with teens, and then gave them the question and said, as you study this week, here's the problem that we can take a look at and try to solve.
Yeah.
Give it to them. And then maybe later on, come back to it again during dinner. Right. Have you guys thought about this?
Right.
As you've
it'll
been
look different with younger kids for sure.
Yep.
Like I realized that's not a, but that's an interesting way. I'm being selfish right now because I'm exploring up like things in my brain that would work for teenagers because that's our phase, you know. That's an interesting thought. I like it.
But what if we're single?
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Maybe just we take the same.
Problems.
Yeah. Maybe we say do the same thing. What kind of problems does this come up, and what kind of solutions can I come up with? How can I?
Yeah. Like, it's hard. I mean, it's an interesting way to do it. It's also a challenging way to do it. But one of the things that you kind of brought up, and I'm guilty of this, is that oftentimes we'll take some of the resources and we'll just read through them.
Right.
And think, oh, that's great. But that if we were to really apply and take the suggestions and answer the questions and think through some of that, I wonder, like, I mean, these are clearly inspired in terms of how they're written. I am so impressed with the writing in these manuals.
Yes. Like, I am too.
It blows me away week after week. And so
we take it for granted.
Let's lean in.
Yeah. Right.
I love that.
And I think it's as simple as going into and just taking it bit by bit and say, create a eulogy. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Everyone, let's take 15 minutes and write this out. And that could be, and it's there. It is just literally right there in front of us. And we're not using it.
We take it for granted, like you said.
Right. So my invitation to everyone then is to, like you said, I guess, lean in. Make this, okay, there are two things. Let's make this truly home-centered.
Home-centered.
Right? Truly home-centered, not just by word and by phrase and by, that's a good idea. It's home-centered. No, seriously, flip church, make it home-centered. And then if you're a teacher, create the conditions under which the home-centered has to happen. And I don't know what way that's going to be for each teacher. Pray about it. Think about it. What can I do to flip my class, flip my teaching, flip my discussion, my counsel, whatever, so that it truly is home-centered. And we just come and do a lab and we support it.
Oh, man. There's a lot to think about from this one, in my opinion.
Well, there you go. There's for the next week.
Thanks.
You can think about it.
I'm buried. I'm buried. I got lots to think about.
Me too. Woo. Me too. Okay. Thank you, Julie. Oh, it's been good. It's been good to verbalize this and get this out. And I can take a nap
in your
now.
Brain. Good. You're probably exhausted.
I am taking a nap. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye. Thank you for joining us for this episode on Teaching Restored. Now, us here, the team at Teaching Restored, We are here, and it's our goal to help gospel teachers become more consecrated, more converted, more effective when teaching the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. Our vision is to have this mass army of excellent teachers who go out and teach, you know, whether it's a calling to teach or whether it's being a parent or whether it's a missionary or you're just a friend to someone. Really, in the end, we're all teachers, aren't we? The more we can help each other become better teachers, we're all teaching each other. I can see this great army going forward and laying the foundation for the second coming and helping more and more people accept the gospel of Jesus Christ deeper and deeper in our hearts. That's what our goal is. That's what kind of our vision is. You can help us with that vision by doing one of four things, or maybe even all four of these things. Number one, if you would, please share. Share the podcast, share the accounts, share an episode, an individual episode with another teacher, another parent, a missionary, someone learning the gospel and really wanting to try to learn, okay, how am I going to teach this to others? Share it with them. While you're there, please like, share, and subscribe as well. That helps bring up on social media and in other places for others to see. And then leave a comment. Tell us your experience. We'd love to hear your experiences and rate the show. If you're on a podcast, rate it and say, great, we love this. Or, you know, Kevin, you have a little bit of ways to go. And we all know that. We can all improve, can't we? And then, of course, join us on social media, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, X, YouTube, any of those. Join us there and watch our shorter snippets of content that we have going out. Thanks so much for joining us. We have loved this ride and we are excited to continue to do this even more, but we can't do this without you. If you would, please join us in doing these things. Thanks so much and we'll see you next time.